remember Lot's wife. God told her, do not look back towards the city. And again, we wouldn't think it's really that big of a deal. After all, she was a loving mother, right? She cared about her family. She was simply glancing over her shoulder, and it said that she was then turned into a pillar of salt. Jesus said, remember the commandments that God gives you. Remember Lot's wife. Numbers chapter 15, an Israelite once picked up some sticks. What's the big deal? And after all, he probably needed to heat his food, right? He was hungry. But if it wasn't such a big deal, all it says there in relation to not picking up sticks is to remember the Sabbath. God didn't go into all the details and all the minute intricacies of what you're not supposed to do and what you're supposed to do. God says there's a specific set of ordinances that I've given you concerning the Old Testament law. Remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. That means to follow God's commandment based upon His holiness. And so with that, that man was struck dead. When the hungry Israelites complained about Moses' leadership, a small thing it would seem, but God sent him to be in charge. God sent him to lead them out of captivity, to lead them into the promised land. But they wanted to complain about it. They didn't think Moses was up to the task. Moses took us away from all our comforts and everything that we enjoyed. And because of that, because they complained, because they didn't follow God's commandments, because they wanted to override the leadership that He had put in place, God sent the serpents to bite them. But God is a God of love and grace and mercy, forgiving all indiscretions, right? I mean, after all, what's the big deal? What we do learn of these examples is that God is strict about His law and how He's worshipped. And since we are not under the law of Moses, but under the law of grace, Romans 6 and verse 14, is obedience viewed more lightly then? You know, God was pretty strict concerning the commandments under the Old Testament law. He had a whole set of guidelines. If you read the entire book of Numbers in relation to this, look at all the commandments that are given and how specific those commandments are given. Well, God's not that specific as we get into the New Testament, though. He doesn't minutely list everything out as He did in the Old Testament. So, obviously, since we're under the law of grace and mercy now, it's really not that big of a deal. So, we can kind of insert things we think will be better. And that's what people think. Consider four passages from Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 2, the Hebrew writer is very specific to the Christians with whom he's writing to. And he says, you need to give a more earnest heed to the things that you have heard previously, the things that you have been told, lest at any time you should let those things slip. Pay attention to the commandments that God is giving you. Don't become complacent in relation to His commandments that He's going to give you or that He's giving to you. Because if you become complacent, then you forget what He's given to you. Lest at any time, the Hebrew writer says, we should let those things slip. When you think about Hebrews 12 and verse 25, he said, do not refuse Him who is speaking to you. And by refusing to listen to the commandments that God is giving us, by going the way of what we want rather than what God wants us to do, we're refusing to listen to the one who's speaking to us through His Word. And again, it goes back to what Paul writes to Timothy. He tells him, Timothy, all Scripture is for a purpose. It's to make you what you need to be, complete as a gospel preacher in what you're about to teach. Everything that pertains to life and godliness. Teach them this word, he said. Teach them exactly what it says here. Well, Hebrews 12, 28 through 29 says, to serve God acceptably, for our God is a consuming fire. So the Hebrew writer says there's an acceptable way to worship God. There's a way that God desires for you to follow Him. Because if you don't, He's consuming in relation to your disobedience. So God says, pay attention to the commandments that I'm giving here concerning this worship. You see, when you think about those things that were written aforetime for our learning, Romans 15 and verse 4, God is no less strict in the Old Testament than He is in the New. He's the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God doesn't change. Are we under a new commandment? Are we under a new covenant? Absolutely we are. Where's their different purpose for the old covenant in relation to the new? Absolutely there was. The old covenant is what pointed to the cross of Calvary. The new covenant is what delivers us to eternity. And so with that, we have to make sure that we stop assuming that we know what God wants and what He desires. Because the sin of presumption is serious. Israel often tried to test God's patience. Once the tribes feared to conquer Canaan with God's help and under Moses' leadership, And when God told them this because of their unbelief, He said, too bad, so sad. You're out. You see, they didn't believe God and what He was telling them to do and that He was going to be with them. They feared because they didn't trust. Well, when God told them that because of their unbelief, they would not be allowed to enter Canaan. The Bible says in Numbers 14 and verse 44 that they presumed to go up the mountain. They didn't want to wait on Him. We'll take care of this, God. We've got this. We know what's better than You do. So we're going to go ahead and go up and conquer this and take care of this situation. God said, no, you're not. Not on My watch, you're not. I mean, was it really that big of a deal that David was going to make it a little bit easier on his men and place the Ark of the Covenant on the cart? I mean, after all, what's the big deal, right? I mean, God was specific in who was supposed to carry it, how they were supposed to carry it, what tribe was to be in charge of it, and how they were supposed to deliver it. I mean, it's not a big deal. I mean, David was a loving king. I mean, after all, he was a man after God's own heart. He simply wanted to give his men some rest. Let's get there a little bit quicker instead of lugging this big heavy thing around. Throw it on the cart and we're going to go store it somewhere. How'd that work out? I mean, after all, he was simply trying to steady it. His intentions were exactly what he thought they should do. I just don't want it to fall on the ground. God doesn't want you to touch it, is what he said. And so because of that, his death was placed on the shoulders of David. David is the one who instructed and ordered that cart to be carried, or the ark to be carried on the cart. David is the one who said it's really not that big of a deal. But God was specific in relation to that. So why was God so hard on them? Presumptuously literally means with a high hand and refers to a deliberate act of transgression despite divine authority. In short, they acted as if it was more advantageous to rebel against God than to serve God. You know what? This way is easier, right? This way is a lot more simple. Let's do it this way. I can remember in the military, one of the things you never questioned was an order. Maybe in all of your infinite wisdom, you know, 2 or 3 years in the military, you were going to second guess your commanders and senior staff and enlisted because they didn't know any better than you because, I mean, after all, you'd been in the Marine Corps for 3 years, right? You had all the answers. You got all this figured out. You got put in your place pretty quick. You see, that was after years and years of understanding leadership in relation to that, of not questioning what you were supposed to do. So here you had these individuals. David was questioning the authority of God, telling him he knew better. The Israelites were questioning the leadership of Moses because they thought somebody would be better in place of Moses because Moses wasn't living up to their standards. God said, be very careful assuming what you think I might want. And it's very presumptuous of us to have a high hand against God to think we know better than what God knows. And we have to be very careful of that. Worshiping God is important. We might like instrumental music better, but worship is for God's pleasure, brethren, not ours. But we do get something out of it. God wants us to worship Him in spirit and truth. Verse 23 of John 4 says He's desiring those true worshipers to follow Him and listen to Him, and He wants us to do it according to His standards because He knows we're going to get something out of it. It's going to please Him, and when we please God, it makes us happy because God loves us and He wants what's best for us. Jesus said, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men in Matthew 15 and verse 9. But a lot of people assume, in relation to human wisdom, is spiritually dangerous. Spiritually dangerous. Many dismiss the discussion with a shrug, and many today say, live and let live. Don't sweat the small stuff. It's really that big of a deal, preacher. But here's one thing we also have to understand. If we'll go against just one small thing that God said, where does that lead us? It leads us into many other things, right? Kind of that snowball effect, as we've heard. That one small thing leads to something big, and next thing you know, you're completely away from what God ever desired of His church to be, and we see it all the time. It's interesting, if you ever go back and look through church history, as you begin to see the divisions of religion, all of it was based upon man's opinion. Documented there for all of us to read. All of it was based upon man's opinion. What they thought would be better. Human wisdom is a dangerous thing. What we have to understand is relying on common sense and spiritual matters can lead us to the wrong place. I don't see any harm in it, right? Many today say live and let live, but common sense is strongly shaped by our experiences and the culture in which we live. that which we know, that which we've grown up around. We say, well, everybody else is doing it, so it's really not that big of a deal. But Christianity requires that we walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Not based upon what we think everybody else is doing. Some in each generation are tempted to veer from that marked path, and when they do that, God punishes them. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Death. We've got a lot of smart people in this room. A lot of smart people in the world. You look at the technology we have today. You look at how far we've come in medical technology and advancement and cancer research and all of these wonderful things. And all of those things are good and all of those things are great. But when it comes to worshiping God and His religion, God has got it. God says, I've got this. I know exactly what you need. And I know exactly what I want, and I know exactly what I desire. God is never pleased with man improving His plans for His religion. Paul wrote in Romans 10 and verse 3, he said, for they are being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Going about establishing their own way, God, or Paul says. Nadab and Abihu offered a sacrifice to God in Leviticus chapter 10, right? And after all, that's what they were supposed to do. That's what God desired. As we read a little bit further, we see how well that worked out for them. It's not what God wanted. He said, you presented to me something strange, something that I didn't want and something that I didn't ask for. Do you think perhaps in their mind they thought this is what God wanted? Sure they did. Do you think they had the best of intentions? More than likely, because they thought that's exactly what God was wanting at that moment. David saw no harm again in carrying that ark, but again, we have to be careful. One of the things we also understand is that there's no spiritual safety in numbers. Now, all of you parents have heard it, and you've all said it. But mama, everybody else is doing it. Right? We've all said it. And what is the response you usually get from your parents? The bridge response, right? That's the common one you get. Well, if everybody jumped off a bridge, James Larry Fife Jr., would you go jump off the bridge too? I said, depends on how high the bridge is. Again, mama said you can't follow the crowd. But a lot of people think because everybody else is doing it, they forget what Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Narrow is the gate. Narrow is the gate that leads to eternity. But he also said, wide is the path that leads to destruction, right? And many people go in thereat. There's a lot of people going down that spiritual path because everybody else is doing it. And it seems good and it seems right and it seems comfortable. One of the things I often hear from individuals when I have this discussion is, well, you just don't like music. You've never been in my car with me. Ask my kids. They can't understand why I listen to John Coltrane as loud as I do sometimes. Dad, can't you hear it? It's on 32. But the louder the better, I say. I've got nothing against music. I love music. But God says He doesn't want instrumental music in His church. But guess what, brethren? God loves music. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Solo means to pluck the heart. That's the instrument that God is talking about there. To pluck the heart and sing out to God. Bring those praises up because it's a part of worship. God wants us to sing and to be merry and to be happy, teaching and admonishing one another while we're doing those things. And when we do that, we please God. And we do what God desires of us. Unfortunately, it seems that this generation has taken the teeth out of the Bible. Hell is no longer hot. In fact, it's rarely ever mentioned. But yet Jesus spoke of hell more than anybody else in the Bible. And the reason He spoke of hell more than anybody else in the Bible is because Jesus knew how serious it was. He knew the most about it, so He warned the most about it. And He said, that's not a place you want to be. The Bible tells us, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who know not God and obey not the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ. God never commanded His church to worship Him with instruments. As a matter of fact, He forbade it in His Word when you look at Revelation 22, verses 18 through 19. Not to add to, And we see no instances in relation to worship concerning instrumental music in the New Testament. Well, it never says thou shalt not. Brethren, if this book said thou shalt not to everything we weren't supposed to do, it would fill up this entire room. But God is very specific in what He doesn't say. And that in and of itself is authority. If God is silent on it, then we're silent on it. We've all heard the adage, we speak where the Bible speaks and silent where the Bible is silent. And because we understand that God tells us what He desires for His worship, is adding an instrument to worship worse than the chance of hell? No one argues that it's dangerous to sing a cappella, do they? Never heard that argument. No one. But when you think about it and the beauty that comes behind it, it's what God desires. He wants us to pluck our heart, to put our emotion and our feelings into it as we pay attention to the words that are teaching each other and admonishing one another and lifting each other up, because we're here to give God what He wants and what God desires. And God desires us to love Him and to follow Him according to His Word. Is it a matter of indifference? No. It's a matter of truth. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not, right? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In just a few moments, Austin is going to lead us in a song as we stand together for the invitation. And I would encourage all of us as we sing out to God to understand that's exactly what He wants us to do. To sing together towards Him as we lift up our voices to God in heaven, because that's what He desires of us. But He also desires all of us to be saved. He also wants us to come into a knowledge of the truth, to understand what we must do to follow after Him, to be added to His church. So we always offer the invitation because God says we must. So today, if you are here and you are not a New Testament Christian, if you've never followed after the example of the New Testament pattern, we want you to do that. And we're glad that you're here. And as a matter of fact, I'm glad if you're just considering at this moment, perhaps to even ask questions later. And so if you have questions, we want you to stop us and ask us and let us open up His Word again, only going by what the Scriptures tell us to do to show you what you must do to be saved. The Bible tells us that we hear the Word. That's the importance of preaching the gospel message. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Believing in what it tells us to do, Mark 16, 15 and 16. Repenting of our sins, Luke 13, 3 and Luke 13, 5. Confessing our faith that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, Matthew 10, 32 and Romans 10, 9 and 10. And putting on Jesus Christ in baptism, Acts 2, 38 and Acts 22, 16. So today you have an opportunity to be obedient to the gospel. But maybe you're here today and one who's struggling in their faith. Maybe you've fallen away. Maybe you just need encouragement. But I can tell you this, whichever it is, I'm just glad that you're here. I'm glad that you chose to be with us today. I'm glad that you chose to be with our family today if you're visiting with us. And we want you to know that you are our honored guest. And we love that you're here and hope that you will come back again to see us. But if we can help anyone today in any way, please come as we stand and sing this song together. From the peaceful...